Father, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for our gathering together around the Word of God today. And we thank you as we declare that the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so now, Lord, we receive that light, we receive that understanding, and let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So, understanding the kingdom concept of keys. It's important for us, you know, to understand keys. There are many aspects of what a key might mean or do, but some of them I just want to talk about. A key, first of all, represent access. I want to talk about that access today. I want to talk about the authority and the ownership and so forth. What a key can bring us. You know, if you have keys to a building, well, actually, first of all, if you try to get into the, let's go to a place of work, perhaps a small business or whatever, or even, you know, at times when people come to our church building for service, if you get there and you don't have the key and you're early before everybody else, then you have to wait, you know, outdoors, outside, until someone who has a key comes there to let you in. Now, if you don't have a key, or you don't have access to the building. Now, if you have a key, on the other hand, you do have access. If you have a key, you don't need to wait for anybody. You get there, you open the door, you get in. The person that doesn't have a key, but, you know, doesn't have a key, but needs to go in there, they must wait. Now, in that scenario, the key represents access. I mean, something that gives you access into that building. It also represents authority. You know, either you are the owner of the building, that's why you have a key to open it, or you have given it to somebody, you delegated that access and that authority to them to be able to go into the building. It can also represent ownership. You have a key, that means you probably own the place, or at least have the authority, you know, have access to the place. And even within the building itself, there may be many rooms. In fact, Jesus himself was talking about my Father's house. There are many mansions. Well, in the building where we hold our services, there are actually many, many rooms. And, you know, you can have a key to some and not key to all. And I was saying, giving this example yesterday, that when we were purchasing that building, the previous owners, they handed me a whole bunch of keys. I mean, it could have been up to 50 or more keys, because there's so many rooms in that building. And every single one of those rooms at that time had a different key, you know, and they gave me this bunch of keys. I'm like, you know, how do I figure this out? And the janitor used to carry these keys, you know, around his waist, had a hook up on his belt or something. And there was a whole bunch. And I mean, these keys. And he was trying to explain. I said, there's no way I'm going to figure this out. I don't know. I mean, there's too many keys. But over time, they had figured it out. They had some of the keys color-coded and stuff like that. But to me, it was like, no, there's no way I can figure it out. So that's the other aspect of what I want to talk about. You have a bunch of keys, but you don't know what they mean or what they do. It's actually, I don't know that it does you any good. We ended up, you know, combining those keys and pare them down into just about two or three or four keys at the most. Had to bring in a locksmith to rekey all the locks to different master keys, you know. So, but we didn't want to give the master key to everybody that has the access to that building. You know, so some people have some keys that work different places, you know. You may let you go in here. There's also a banquet hall in the building. Well, maybe we don't want you to go in the banquet hall. So we don't give you the keys to that one. There may be some admin offices, you know, and say, well, we don't want you in there, so we don't give you the key to that. There may be this and that. But, you know, somebody may have a key that works different buildings, I mean, different rooms in the building, but not everything. And then you know, some of us that have access to everything, we have one master key or a set of master keys that opens everything, everything. But not everybody has, you know, that kind of access. You know, so that's another aspect of keys. But I want to also talk about, you know, the meaning of keys, you know. A key in the concept of the kingdom, God, talking about kingdom concept of keys, understanding the kingdom concept of keys, what I'm talking about today. Jesus said something in Matthew 16 and 19. He said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And I was explaining this yesterday. I want you to look at that verse. It wasn't exactly keys to the kingdom. It was keys of the kingdom. You know, so again, that means there are different kinds of keys. You know, so what could these keys be? You know, we don't see a physical kingdom that we can, like a building that we can, Jesus could give us a key and we just open it and physically enter in. It's not a physical kingdom. So, but there are keys of that kingdom. In that case, think of those keys as ordinances, principles, systems, and laws by which things function in the kingdom. You know, so, you know, I'm going to talk to you about some of that as well. There was a question, I often refer to this, in Job 38 and 33, where God was asking Job, you know, some questions. And go down to that place and said, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? So there is a knowing, you know, about the ordinances. And there is a, you know, there's a function of those ordinances he talks about here. He said, well, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? You know, can you set the dominion thereof upon the earth? Now, that means there are ordinances or principles or set of laws or systems and so forth, you know, how things work in heaven. But the way those ordinances work together, they actually have control over certain things upon the earth. Dominion is control. You know, so let's think about that. I want to think about that for a bit. You know, see what that might mean. I mean, what's all this stuff that God was talking about, and Jesus himself, you know, talked about the keys of the kingdom. Now, let me go back to this, somebody giving you a set of keys. Someone can give you a set of keys or even one key. If you don't know what it's for or therefore, it really doesn't do you any good. But if you find a key somewhere, let's say in this big building that I was talking about, like our church building, and you just found a key on the floor, you know that there are dozens of doors in that building, up, down, everywhere. Which key does it open? If you don't recognize the key and you don't know what it's for, well, what are you going to do with that key? Are you going to go try every door not to figure out which door the thing opens? In the case where they handed me a bunch of keys, I was like, you know, it would take me hours to figure out, maybe even days to figure out those keys. I would go everywhere in the big building to try to figure out. You try one key, stand in front of one door, you got like 50 keys to try. So you try the first key, doesn't work. You try the next one, it doesn't work. You try a bunch of them, it doesn't work. In the process, you might try a key that you've already tried before, but you didn't know you already tried it because the keys look alike, a whole bunch. So you keep trying them. You spend your whole day there and you don't figure anything out. And some of these keys, they look alike. Even your house, everybody has keys. You know, these keys are cut. They look alike, but they don't work alike, you know. The key are similar, but this key to this door may not, it may look like the key to that door, but you try to put it in the wrong door, it's not going to work, even though they look alike. So if you're there trying to figure out the key, you don't know which one goes where, doesn't really do you any good. Let's say someone leaves you a key. You know, I've seen this on television one time. You know, somebody was bequeathed a key or something, which was supposed to be a key to something that contained something precious. But, you know, you don't know what it is. It looks like a key for a door, but it looks different. So you see that, well, it's not the, it doesn't look like any of the keys to the house that you are in. So it may be the key to some house. But what house? You know it's not the key to your house because you look at it, you say, no, it doesn't look like any of my keys. It's not the key to the house of the person that gave it to you. You know it doesn't, it's not that key. You tried it, it doesn't work. So suppose it's the key to a house and you were not told what house. How in the world are you going to find that house in the city that you live in? It could be anywhere. Which one? What are you going to do? You are lost. I mean, you just can't do it. You're at a loss. Even if it looks like a key to a lockbox, say, you know, safe deposit lockbox or something. Oh, so maybe you've seen those things. Oh, this looks like a key to a lockbox. Okay, which lockbox? You know, there are many banks, you know, all over the place. How can you tell which one? You know, so you are still at a loss. You know, on and on and on. And some keys don't actually look like keys at all, but they are keys nonetheless. There are these things that we call card keys. You know, most hotels these days use those kind of keys. They just look like a, you know, it's just a plastic card. Just look like a credit card now, or your debit card or whatever. But it's programmed to open certain doors. And it can't open every door in that hotel, even if you have it. It can only open your room and, you know, the gym and some other place. They've programmed it to the place that you have access to. Now, there may be hundreds of people in that hotel. They all have keys that look alike. In fact, if someone gave you their key room, it looks exactly like yours. There's no difference at all. There are no marks on the card, because that's for security reasons. They don't write a room number on it. It's electronically programmed into it. So if you saw a key and there are hundreds of rooms in that hotel, you picked up a key, you couldn't know which one it was, which door it opens, because they all look alike, but they function differently, you know, and so on and so forth. There are many things, I mean, behind these keys. Now, let me give you another aspect as well. The aspect of, you know, if you have a key, you don't know what it opens versus you don't have the key in the first place. In those two scenarios, you know, they're just the same. The person who has the key that doesn't know what it's for, and the person who does not have the key, they're the same, in the same boat. I mean, there's one is not better than the other. You have a key, you don't know what it does, and another person doesn't even have a key. Well, it's just the same. A key is useless to you if you don't know what it's for, or if you don't know, and even if you knew it was to open some door or some lock, it's useless to you if you don't know which one. You know, that's the same as the person who doesn't have a key at all. Now, there may be some things behind knowing how a key functions, even when you have it. I gave the example, you know, yesterday of, I have this master key that opens a lot of rooms in our building, church building, you know, and we separated another section of keys, you know, so it doesn't open everything. That was on purpose. At one time, it opened everything. And then one day I gave it to somebody who wanted to go get something from a room that contained some accessories that they needed. And I gave this example yesterday. And so I gave them the key, and then they went to the door and fiddled with it for a bit, then came back and said, the key doesn't work. And I said, of course it works. And they said, no, it doesn't work. I tried it, you know. I said, of course it works. I said, no, it doesn't work. Okay, so I said, okay, let's go. So I walked with them over to the place, you know. I said, try it. Let me see. So they tried it. Of course, the key didn't work. Okay. I took the key from them. I put it in the thing. I turned it. The door opens and it's looking like I told you it works. So I closed the door. I locked it again, gave the key to him, tried again. Didn't work. You know, actually this message of key and stuff was inspired by, you know, it's similar situation. Where I know the key works, but it didn't work in the hand of somebody else, you know. And so I had to teach them, even though they had their key and they knew which door it was for, because I told them, you know, but still it didn't work because they didn't know how to use the key. So that's so important in the lesson we want to bring today. You know, a similar scenario happened lately. I had a key made for one of my older cars. And someone wanted to borrow the car one day, so I gave them the key. Now, when I had that key made, the locksmith didn't make it perfectly. He tried everything, but it wasn't, didn't come out right. And most of these car keys, you know, they work either way. I mean, two-sided key, doesn't matter. You put it in this way, it works. You put it in that way, it works. It works the ignition, works the door, and so forth. Some, you know, newer cars don't even need, you know, keyless entries and so forth. But this was an older car and had a, you know, key. So when I made the key, you know, it only worked if you put it this way. It didn't work if you put it in that way. If you turn the key around and you put it in, it didn't work the ignition. It worked the door, but it didn't work the ignition. I was like, oh, you know. So he said, well, I'm sorry, this and that. I said, I won't charge you anything for it. Just have it as an extra key. Okay. I was using it anyway, and I know that you got to put it in this way. So this key is a two-sided key and has a plastic, you know, holder. And on one side of the plastic bottom of the key, it's got the logo of the car, right? On the other side is plain. So I know that, you know, I know which side is which and I know which side works, you know. It's got the brand, the logo of the car brand on one side and the plain on the side. So if I put it in this way, the logo facing this way, I know it works. Put it in the other way, I know it wouldn't work. I knew that. But when I gave it to somebody, I forgot to tell them that. You know, and so they went in and unfortunately they put it in the wrong way because they expected the keys normally work and you put it in the car. It doesn't matter. You don't have to look at the key, which side you just put it in and it works. So they put in the wrong way and it didn't work. This is a true story. And it happened even not long ago. And they put it in the wrong way. It didn't work. And they tried it. Tried a lot, you know, just do many things and so forth. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, this particular car too, you know, when you lock the steering, it's, you know, you put the key in, the key wouldn't turn, even if you put it in the right way. I mean, even the old key that worked both directions, when you put it in and the steering lock is on, it wouldn't turn. That's the way they did it. Until you twist the steering just slightly and then turn the key. You know, that's just the way that car was made. So, I mean, they thought it's the steering lock, playing with it and so forth. No, it's not that. Just won't turn the ignition. And they wasted a lot of time trying to figure that out. A simple instruction from me would have saved them all that time. Turn the key this way, not that way. And it would have saved them. Well, and after fiddling with it, by chance, they took the key out. Say, well, what's wrong with this key? And they put it in again, by chance, they put it in the correct way. They didn't know they were doing it that way. And then the car started. I said, oh, well, good. At least they went off. And, I could have, if I had told them that, I would save them a lot of time. Now, most of us, though, when we have our keys, our car keys, we don't think about it. I mean, so that's the other thing I want to talk about. You know, the key to your car simplifies a lot of things. Now, they've even improved it these days. You don't need to stick the key into an ignition anymore. You know, you can just press a button or whatever and the car will start, you know, all those things. So they've simplified it. But let's talk about the one that's still using the keys. This is the old keys. When you have the key in your hand, though, and you go to the car, you know it works. I mean, so I'm not talking of, I've left the story, my story now of a key that was made for me that doesn't work. I'm back to the key that actually works. So everybody, you know, that has a car has some key and they know it works. And so when you go up with the car and you put the key in the ignition, you turn it, you know it works. You don't think about it. I mean, you just know it works. I mean, you don't have to pray for it to work. You only have to pray if you've had trouble with it before. You have to spend a lot of time praying. But, you know, if the key has always worked, you don't even think about it. Nobody gets to their car and start praying that the key should work. Lord, as I'm going to this car, I pray that this key will open the car, they turn the ignition on, and I'll be able to go. Nobody spends their time doing that. They already know the key works. Just go in there, you stick the key in, you turn it, and boom, it cranks up, and off you go. You know, so the key, knowing that the key works, simplify the process in that case for you. You already knew it works. And you don't need to be praying that it should work. It already works. You know that. Now, but you got to know how to use the key. You know, there was one day years ago, I went to work in a building years ago. And it was at that time I was a traveling consultant going to different places. And it was a high-rise building, and I was going to a certain floor. And so I got on the elevator, and I didn't know that getting on the elevator, maybe let's say there were 30-something or 40-something floors. And, you know, you get on that elevator, you can get on the elevator, but you couldn't get off on every floor. I didn't know that. So, you know, you had to have access to certain floors. I don't know if some of you have had this experience. And even when you come in the lobby, you know, and you tell them where you're going to, and they program something for you, give you something, and you use it, you know, to get access. If you stick it in there's a key card and a key card hole in that the elevator. Old system years ago, but it was very secure. You put it in. Let's say they program for you to get off on the 23rd floor, and you put it in, and you press 23rd floor, everything's cool. But if you put it in, they program in for you to get in on 23rd floor, but that's the only place they actually let you access. And then you press 22. Or 21, or 15, or 7, or 8, it's not going to do anything. The elevator doesn't go anywhere. But you're looking like, but I have a key. But the key doesn't work. Because you didn't have access to that floor. You know, in fact, I've done that. You know, I had the key. I put it in. But when I was going to press the floor, I pressed the wrong floor. And, you know, so the key, the elevator didn't do anything, and there was one, but I have the key, but now it doesn't work. You know, well, the key actually worked. I just didn't know how. or I did the wrong thing. I didn't follow the principle. In this case, the principle of the key was that you got to put it in, and there's certain, you know, so certain time frame, certain number of seconds, you got to press the key, some buttons. And you got to press the right buttons during that certain number of time, then it'll work. If you don't, then it wouldn't work. You know. It's just all these scenarios. Even with my car that has the keyless entry, if you press the door open, the remote door open, there's a principle for the thing. And the principle says you've got to open one of those doors. This is my older car. It works that way. I still have a car. You press the remote thing. You know, this car has both remote, and you can use both key and remote. But if you press the remote key as you're walking towards the car, it'll open the doors. The remote's open. But if you do not open any of those doors within 30 seconds or whatever number of seconds, the doors will lock again automatically. It's a safety feature. You know, so you press the thing, you know it should open, you get there, it doesn't open. Because you did not follow the principle of the thing. The principle says within 30 seconds of when you press this thing, you got to open the door. You know, the same principle with the elevator. You press this, you put this key in here, within a certain number of seconds, you got to press the button. Now you got to press the right button combinations for the floor that you have access to that's been given you on that key. I mean, it's a lot of complicated stuff with this thing. But what it boils down to is that, look, just having the key in your hand doesn't mean it's going to work. Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say. And so what does that mean? Some of us have a bunch of keys. Most believers find a bunch of promises in the Bible. They're keys, but they don't work. They don't work in your hands. Why not? I don't know. Yeah, well, let's find out. You know, there was a story of, you know, so that's one of the most powerful keys, powerful, you know, that we have in this Bible. In fact, the greatest key is the name of Jesus. It's a powerful. I mean, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9, you find out why it is so powerful. Because of the way that Jesus humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, even though he knew he was God, but he didn't do all of that. He made himself obedient, suffered even the worst death, which is death on the cross, shameful death and everything. God therefore highly exalted him, gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everything, every knee should bow, every tongue confess. I mean, God said it like that. So if you know how to use that name, it's powerful. It's nothing like it. Even Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, he said, look, ask anything in my name. Anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, you know, it's not easier said. That's easier said than done. You know, so, and again, he said, look, in fact, let me read to you John 14, because this, we're now getting into the lesson. I said all those stories to catch your attention about keys and stuff, you know, but now I want to get into the real lesson here. The real lesson here is this. In John chapter 14, here's what Jesus said. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's verse 13, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said that. Two times, back to back in two verses. Well, and then you ask something in his name and it doesn't happen. You know, he said, but you said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Then you ask in the name and nothing happens. It doesn't work. I mean, if it doesn't work, then what does that mean? I mean, there must be something wrong here. You know, it probably means there are some hidden principles, because God's word cannot lie. If God said he will do, he will do. So if you try the thing that God said you should try and that he will do something, you tried it and it didn't work, it probably means there were some hidden principles that you did not understand. You didn't follow the principles. You didn't try to open the door within 30 seconds of pressing the button. You know, you didn't know that that was the principle. You didn't read the manual. You just pressed the button and then you took your time. You got to the locker, but I pressed the button and you thought it should have opened, but it did not. It actually opened, but it locked up again or whatever, you know. So ask anything in my name. Use my name. I will do it. Well, so there is this story, you know, in Acts chapter 19. There were some people that heard stuff like this. So in Acts chapter 19, there's a story in verses 13 to 17. They're called the seven sons of Sceva. Some of you know this story. They heard, you know, people like Paul using the name of Jesus to cast out devils. So they saw somebody that was troubled of devils. So they walked up to the man and said, okay, evil spirit, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of the man. Well, they're using the name of Jesus, just like Jesus said. But he didn't walk. Why didn't he walk? The devil, the man in whom the devil was, answered them and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Who in the world are you guys? And he lifted up them and tore their clothes and everything. And they went out of that room ashamed. Oh, but they were using the name of Jesus. Why in the world didn't they walk? Jesus already said, use my name. In fact, he said, you know, cast out devils in my name. Why didn't he walk then? Some principles they didn't understand. There was an understanding they didn't have. You know, so it's not just chanting a few words. It's not just, you know, like that. But they didn't have understanding that was behind the use of that name. It didn't work for them. You know, so think about that. But they knew the name. Now, that's the most powerful key in the scriptures. But some people used it. It didn't work. Some of us have used that name and it didn't work either. Don't be laughing at the seven sons of Sceva. Some of you have done the same thing. You prayed prayers in the name of Jesus and it didn't work. You know, and then, you know, say, well, you know, why not? There are principles behind these things and why it didn't work. Let me tell you, in another powerful key, we'll get to why these things don't work in a bit. But I just want to tell you some of these powerful keys that are in the Bible. Now, actually, you know, let me tell you about some of the promises of God. Now, promises of God can be keys, right? They're actually keys. Now, if you know, you know, how to use them, they might work for you. But two people might be quoting the same set of promises. It may work for one. It may not work for the other. And that's a true life scenario. We know that. That happens. I mean, even you yourself. Sometimes it works for you. Sometimes it doesn't work. You know, and I gave this illustration of a key, you know, that works. It's not that you don't know how to use, you've used the key before, but one day that key didn't work and it's happened to me. Even one of the master keys that we had for this building I was talking about, you know, not the overall main master key, but one key that opened several set of doors. One day, suddenly, the key wasn't working. And I knew the trick. You got to turn it a certain way. In fact, it was one particular key that you got to turn in the opposite direction of, you know, I mean, it wasn't intuitive, you know. There was one particular lock. You get there. It wasn't intuitive. If you thought you had to turn the key away from the door jamb in order to open the door, that's the intuitive thing, the lock. In this particular case, you got to turn it the other way, which is counterintuitive. I knew that. I walked up there and turned it the way that it should be, because I knew that. I've done it many times. But it didn't work. Okay, turn it the other way, it didn't work. Why is this key not working? It's almost like the day I gave it to somebody, and they didn't work in their hand. That day, it didn't work. And I found out later something was wrong with the key. The key, you know, either got worn or something was stuck in the door or something like that. And some of us have, you know, experienced that. You know, sometimes the key to your house suddenly doesn't work, especially when the, you know, the weather changes. Maybe it's now winter, something, or frozen, or summer, or something has expanded or something. And the key doesn't work. And sometimes all it takes is for you to pull the door a little bit while at the same time you're turning the key, and then you'll work. You know, we've been through all these scenarios that keys that work suddenly don't work for some reason. There may be something that's making that key not work. Well, let's talk about that for a minute before I tell you about another key. When you find something that should work, like a promise of God. Now, first of all, I've said this before. It's not a promise to you if you don't know that it was promised. Yeah. So if God promised something and you don't know about it, then it's not a promise as far as you're concerned, because you don't know it was promised. So first of all, you've got to know the promise. If you don't know, you know, somebody said, you know, like little children, maybe they were not there and the parent was telling the others that they're going to do something for them, and the other one didn't hear it. Then the one that didn't hear it didn't know that it was promised. Only the ones that heard it knew it was promised. So if you don't know what God promised, then it's not a promise to you. You know, so that's the first lesson about promises. If you don't know what was promised, then it's not a promise because you don't know it was promised. Now, but number two, if you do know what was promised, then if it doesn't work, maybe there was a premise to the promise, you know. A premise might be a precondition to the premise. And you don't know. And so there are many promises in this Bible that sometimes we forget to read and understand the premise that surrounds that promise. There may be a promise that says, if, now that's a big premise. If you don't do the if, and you are trying to make the promise work, it's not going to work, you know. All right? For instance, this wonderful promise in Exodus 15 and 26. It's a wonderful promise. We all quote it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, it's not quite simple. That simple. There are some premises in that same verse before that. I am the Lord that healeth thee. There are four things that he said in that same verse. You know, if you skip those four things, and then, well, of course, the four things are intertwined. They're almost like the same thing, but it's intertwined. But if you skip those things and then you jump to I am the Lord that healeth thee, and then your healing doesn't happen, then you wonder, well, because there was a premise before that promise. And you didn't figure it out or read it carefully. This is what he said. If thou, there's a big if. Many promises like that in the Bible that start with if. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. That's number one. Number two. And if thou wilt do that which is right in his sight. That's number two. Number three. If thou wilt give ear to his commandments. That's number three. Number four. And if thou wilt keep all his statutes. I mean, they're intertwined, but there are four big ifs there. One if, but four components of that if. That's a premise, the condition. Well, he said, if you do all those things, then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought, for I am the Lord that healeth you. But if you skip all that and you jump to the last line and say, I am the Lord that healeth you. And when you are sick, just claim your healing. It may, and it may not work. If you have not kept the conditions. There's a lot of promises, you know. There's one here in John chapter 15, verse 7. Powerful promise. I mean, it's kind of like a catch-all, really. I mean, that's powerful. But there is a big if with it as well. You know, if he says, "You abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you." Now, I can quote this last part of it that says, "Ask anything, it will be given you." You know, same things that Jesus said elsewhere. And you forget the if. So you come out here, you ask anything, and it's not given to you. And you say, "Well, it doesn't work." Well, maybe it does work, but you didn't know how to use it. And there are principles and ordinances and laws and systems and rules by which things function in the kingdom. It's not just anyhow. You know, and God's not going to do things anyhow. God's a God of principle. You know, so those are some other reasons why it may not work. For instance, Jesus was teaching in a certain place in book of Mark 11. He showed them how he spoke to the tree that wasn't producing fruit and it died. And then they came back. He took them back the next day just to make sure they saw it. And said, "Oh, the tree you cursed yesterday has died." So, yeah, you can do the same thing. In fact, he looked over here and said, "See this mountain over here? You can actually speak to it and it'll move." And he told them how to do it. He said, "Well, if you say it and you don't doubt it, but you believe what you have said, then you shall have what you say." But there is some hidden principles there. First, you have to be able to speak it, and then you must not doubt it. Now, once there's an element of doubt, most of the time we speak things and they don't come to pass. Well, could be there was an element of that. You know, you may think you didn't doubt, but God knows whether you doubted. So wherefore is that doubt? You know, one time, Sarah was challenging God, and God told her, "You laughed." She said, "No, I didn't laugh." I said, "But yes, you did." You know, God knows whether you laughed. God knows whether you doubted. You know, say, "No, I didn't do it." Say, "Yes, you did. Of course you did." You know, he saw you. Jesus even saw Nathaniel when he was under the fig tree, you know, before anybody spoke to him. Say, "Oh, yeah." And he saw him and said, "Oh, look at an Israelite that has no guile in his mouth." "Where do you know me from?" "I've known you for a long time. Even when you were under that fig tree before your friend called you, I saw you." Say, "My goodness, how could you have seen me? That was miles away." You know, so God knows if you doubt it. And I'll tell you some other principles, some other ordinances of heaven that know whether you doubt. Not just God. There are lotters, there are patrollers, there are holy watchers. They know and they are looking. But if you doubt, it's not going to work. But even if you didn't doubt, even if you were able to say it correctly, even if you believed it, and you did everything that you should have done, and still it didn't work. Well, maybe there is something else you didn't read. Maybe you did not read. Now, Mark 11, verses 23 to 24, is what people usually read. Say it, don't doubt it, believe it, and have it. And all things you shall ask in prayer, believing. Whatsoever, you know, that one says actually, when you ask, he said, what things you ever you desire. When you pray, at the moment you are praying, believe and you shall receive. So, you've perfected this believing when you pray to receive, but it's not working. It's like a key, it's not working. It's a key that should work, but it's not working. Why not? Well, maybe you did not read verse 25. Verse 25, which most people never read. We just quote, you know, verses 22 say, have faith in God. Verse 23 tells you how to do it. Verse 24 tells you like whatever you want, you believe it, you say it, and so forth. When you believe, you get it. All these things. And then you stop there. But you don't read verse 25, which is part of the same context. You say, and when you start praying, so this is the reason why you've done all that and it may not work. If you do not forgive, so Jesus now put something there, a little caveat. He may do all these things, but if you don't forgive, it'll be held against you and God may not answer your prayer. Now we see the key is not working. Could be because of unforgiveness. Yeah, and the key may not work. Yeah. But you have the key. You even know which door to put it in, and yet it doesn't work. Now, some people that don't know which door to put it in. That's a different story. But you know which door to put it in. But still, it doesn't work, man. That may be some reason. You know, when you open a tap in your house and water doesn't come out, and you know there is water, well, there must be some reason. You know, or the water is dripping instead of rushing out. There must be some reason. Maybe the tap is clogged. Could be clogged by calcium deposits. Or even there may be a filter, you know, at the mouth of that tap. They put it there to catch dirt. And the dirt has filled up. One day, years ago, before I realized that there were filters in the, you know, the around the mouth of that tap, there was a filter there, like a net. I didn't know that. You know, so years ago, you know, the water was not coming out. And, you know, I opened the thing even more. And said the water was not coming out. You know, I thought something was wrong, you know. I called a plumber and everything. I said, look, I don't know. You know, I'm not getting water in this thing. I mean, I turn on the water, the pressure is on and everything. And he does one simple thing. Sticks his finger. I didn't know this at the time. Sticks his finger underneath the, you know, the mouth of the faucet. Brings out this little thing. And then all of the sudden, water is flowing like crazy. I'm like, and then he showed me this thing. It took him like 3 or 5 seconds. And here I have been struggling with this thing all along. You know, and he said, well, yeah, there's this filter in front of your thing, and it was catching all the debris coming out of that water to help you get clean water. But it has been now plugged up to the point that the water could not get through. Say, oh, I never knew that. You know, and so there was a principle or some set of principles that will operate for that water to flow the correct way. But, you know, if something clogs it up, then the water is not flowing, even though the water was there. But yeah, I wasn't receiving it on the other end, even though the water was there all along. So that's another thing. You know, there may be reasons why these things are clogged up. Let me talk about one reason that relates to what I just said. It's called lack of knowledge. You know, if I had known that, I'd save myself a call and, you know, to the plumber. And they'll charge you the trip charge nonetheless. It's a service call. And whether it took them a minute or not, it doesn't matter. Come to your house, they're going to charge you. It's up to you. It's your fault for not knowing something that simple. You're going to pay for it anyway. So, lack of knowledge. It's the reason why some keys may not work. Well, the knowledge could be you didn't even know that the key existed. That's even, you know, something. It's like what I just said before, that the promise was given, but you didn't know it was given. So it's not a promise. So you don't know. You know, somebody leaves a will for somebody. They bequeath them, you know, an estate that can cover a lot of things for them, but they don't know about it. They're still going to be poor because they don't know they have access to that. They have no knowledge of it. So they're still poor. And until they make discovery, they don't know what they have. So lack of knowledge could be very significant. You know, I heard a story one time, long time ago, of someone that paid for a cruise. And they went on the cruise. And when they had various events and buffet and different things and shows and so forth, they wouldn't go to those events until somebody said, why are you not going to all these things? You know, I said, well, I didn't pay for those things. And I don't have extra money. I said, well, but you already paid. I said, no, I didn't pay. I just paid for the cruise. He said, yeah, but that, you know, includes all these things. Is that really? So their lack of knowledge was a true story, actually. They were on the cruise. They paid for the cruise, but they thought they had to pay extra for each of those things. So when they saw the thing, this thing must be expensive. I can't do it. I'm just going to enjoy my little cruise here. But they already paid for the thing, but they didn't know. Lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's something the devil actually uses against us a lot. He knows you don't know, and he wants to keep it that way so you don't know. Why? Because Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, I put that in parentheses, will make you free. First, you've got to know the truth, though. But the truth doesn't make anybody free just by itself. Otherwise, everybody would be free. Because the truth is always out there. But people are not free, even though the truth is out there, because they don't know the truth. And that is not going to make them free because they don't know. So, knowledge is key. Knowledge, some people say knowledge is power. Well, they are right. It's power. That's why you go to school. Everybody that's listening to me on here has gone to school. Some of you have gone for years. Some of you are still going. Even though you already got degrees to your name, you are still going to school, you know, to get more degrees, to learn more things, you know, to conquer more territories and so forth. Well, because it's power, knowledge, you know. And if you don't know, then you could be at a disadvantage. But if you know, you know, there are some benefits, even in this country, this great United States. There are some benefits. They don't advertise them, but they are there for some, you know, that you can get, but only for citizens, you know, some of these, most of these benefits. But even the citizens, even though they are citizens, not everybody knows these things because they don't advertise them. You just got to know, you know, there are some funding, there are some awards, you know, there are some different things, some sponsorships, some scholarships, you know, different things that are available, but they won't tell people, they don't put it out there. And if you don't know, you don't know, you know, even though it's available to everybody, you don't know, you don't know. Now, the people that know, maybe they've done some research, or maybe somebody who knew told them about it. All of a sudden, they can tap into that thing, and they can get something that was there all along. But they suffered for many years because they didn't know it. But they had access to it. Or they could have had access to it if they would have known. But because they don't know, or didn't know, then they didn't have access. So knowledge is powerful. You know? If you don't know, in fact, let me tell you the how knowledge works in the principles of the kingdom. You know, think of knowledge as you know, as a way of knowing about the promises of God. That's knowledge, right? You know, if you know the promise, then it's a promise. If you don't know it, then you don't. Then it wasn't a promise. Because you didn't hear it, or you didn't know it, or you didn't research to find out. So knowledge helps you to know about or to learn. Knowledge helps you to learn about those promises. Wonderful keys throughout the Bible. If I wanted to do promise, and I've done it, you know, precious promises of God. I did a series on them. You know, a lot. See, whether it's for healing, whether it's wealth, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, wellness, whether it's rest and this and that, whether it's deliverance from fear and oppression, whether it's advancement. I mean, I've done these things. But knowledge will teach you about the promises of God. Now, but that's not all. Understanding is the key to unlock that knowledge. You know. Otherwise, that knowledge means nothing. In fact, Jesus told a parable. We call it the parable of the sower. Right? In Matthew 13. And when he began to explain it to his disciples later on, he said, well, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and they don't understand it, he said, well, what happens? He said, the enemy, we come and take it away from them. Now, they heard the word. So you might say, you know, they learned something. If you're here today and you're hearing what I'm teaching here, right, you have the opportunity to learn something. At least you are hearing about it. You're knowing what I'm saying. But if you do not have understanding as to what I am saying, it may not profit you at all. And they asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And why are you speaking parables all the time? He said, well, and here was the answer. The answer that Jesus gave might surprise you. He said, you know, in Matthew chapter 13, you know, they asked him, you know, in verse 10, he said, why do you speak unto them in parables? You know, Jesus said, well, because to you, is given to know. The know there is understand. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Well, it's not given, then why do you bother telling them at all? Well, so that hearing they may hear, because they have to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. Hearing they may hear and know nothing. Seeing they may see and still see nothing. And their hearts may not perceive anything. And say, wow. Say, yeah. He says, so if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and they have no understanding, then the devil comes and plucks it out of their heart. They heard it, but they have no understanding. That's the same way if you read, just have a bunch of keys and you don't know what the keys do. It does you no good whatsoever. You're no better than somebody that doesn't have the key. They're both in the same condition. In fact, let me tell you a story here in Isaiah chapter 29. There is a lesson that we read about somebody who's knowledgeable. I mean, they're schooled, they're trained, they're knowledgeable. They have the wisdom, they have the ability to do certain things. They even, you know, they know stuff. They are called learned. They've gone to school, they've learned certain things, and so forth. And then there is this other person that's never gone to school, know anything. It's like somebody who knows how to read, but doesn't read, right? You know how to read, but you don't read. And the person that doesn't know how to read, that doesn't read, but they don't know how. Well, both of those people are in the same situation. You know how to read, but you read nothing. Well, and the person that doesn't know how to read, doesn't read anything because they don't know how to read. But the two of them are in the same situation. But one time I was watching something in the news, and they asked somebody a question. I mean, on the news, on some TV show or something, asked somebody a question. And they said, there were two of them there. And they, you know, something in history that they should have known. One person gave the answer. The other person didn't know. So I didn't know that. The other person that gave the answer, well, you should read more. And I said, wow, you know, that you should read more. You know, so the person could read, but they didn't read, so they didn't know. And so this man in Isaiah chapter 29, we read this story about a man that is learned, right? He's learned. He's gone to school. He can read. He can read letters. He understands stuff, you know. But so they go to him. He's learned. So I want you to see this thing. It's powerful. He's learned. But there's a book that is sealed. There's a key that will unlock that seal. The learned man, well, naturally, they say, well, you should learn, you should know this thing because he's learned. And he looked at the book, he said, well, I can't read it. So why can't? I mean, you're a learned man. He said, well, this book is sealed. Well, open it then. I can't. I don't have the key to unlock the seal. Oh, okay. So they bring the book to somebody that was not learned. He said, are you kidding? The learned man can't read it? What? I can't read. So you find out that in this case, the one who wasn't, I mean, the one who was learned but can't read the book was no better than the one that couldn't read it because they were not learned. Same thing. There was something that was going to unlock that seal, and even the learned man did not have it. A lot of us today in Christendom, we are in the waves of religion. Religion doesn't really teach you. There's all these traditions of the fathers and religion and so forth. And Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. He said, look, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and then you make them the twice a child of hell. You will not go in, and you will not let them go in. Call them, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Call them that. You know, and this is what the systems, religious systems do. They just keep people out. You know, so they keep you out. Instead of telling you how the key actually works, they give you a bunch of keys. They don't tell you how it works. They told you how it works, they will be out of their job. But now you know, now you don't have to come to them. So you keep coming, you keep learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, never coming to real understanding. That's a religious system to keep people like that. You know, so if you don't read, even though you could read, and you can't read, it's the same thing. You know, now in this case, this man could actually read, but he could not, he did not have the key to unlock, you know. And if the Lord allows me, maybe if I do this as a series, I might actually, you know, show you how to read and understand if the Lord allows me. But, you know, it actually comes to from Jesus, what Jesus said in Matthew 11:25. One day he said, Father, I rejoice. I mean, he was just happy. He said, look at this, the way you do stuff. Say, you know, I rejoice in his spirit. Said, thank you, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and the learned man in Isaiah 29:11. You hid it from, you know. But you revealed him to somebody who didn't even learn anything, the babies, because so it seemed good in that side. Now, whereas we must learn or study to show yourself approved and so on, it takes the revelation of God to reveal the key to the things. You know, that's why you can read the scriptures and figure nothing out. And someone else can read it, or you yourself at a later time can read it and figure something out. And, you know, I sometimes read the scriptures and I figure things out. Not because I figured it out, but the Lord gave me understanding to figure it out. You know, because understanding, you know, is like a deep well. I mean, wisdom is like a deep well. Out of a man with understanding will pull it out. And God's the one that gives that understanding. You know, so that's how things function. If you don't understand the thing, it's like a parable that's put out there. These parables are put out there in plain sight so that everybody can see it, but not everybody can understand it. That's why it's a parable. You know, it's teaching a lesson. Everybody hears it, but not everybody understands it. Say, why you do it like that? So they can hear and not understand. Say, why? Well, you know, quoted this stuff of Isaiah. If they understand, they will eventually be converted and I will heal them. Say, oh, yeah. Okay. So knowledge is so key. You know, one time when I was doing, and I think I've done it once or twice on this platform, the, you know, Pillars of Wisdom series, in the knowledge series and the knowledge lesson, I said knowledge, you know, in the corridors of influence, knowledge is key. You know, people assess your knowledge. That's how they think. You know, until they really talk to you, it's just your credentials that speak for you. Your credentials speak for you. And if you want to be, if you go amongst, you know, some people of caliber, you know, you have no credentials. But if you come in there and they say, Dr. Such and Such, and you hold a degree in this and this, and you hold a degree in that thing that they are thinking, let's say they are discussing world politics and so forth, and they say, you know, let's say, professor of world politics from Harvard University. Now everybody is going to listen up. But this is the man. You know, just because they introduce him that way. You know, so that knowledge that gave them that, you know, those credentials is so key. And that could get them into places where somebody else couldn't get into because they had those credentials, you know, and, that's when people want to take time, you know, to learn and to understand things. So powerful. I'm going to tell you one more story and then I'm going to stop here. This will be part one. I'll come back and continue perhaps tomorrow and until I finish with the stuff I want to do. I don't want it to be too long. I'm going to tell you the story of X marks the spot. Some of you have heard it before. You know, it's similar to the one I just told you about the plumber. And I called the plumber and he was like there for like 3-5 seconds and I still had to pay the same trip charge. Because I didn't know what he knew. You know, so, you know, people that have knowledge, skilled beyond others, give them a, you know, they have understanding, gives them an advantage. And I know where to put the X. You know, many years ago when I was starting out my consulting practice, I was trying to figure out how, because I thought at the beginning, that all I had to do was to make, I mean, more money was to work more hours. If I was hourly paid and I worked more hours, then I would get paid more. And it's just simple arithmetic, right? No. You know, and then later on in life, I found out that, no. You know, at first I thought that was it. Then you have to work, well, I try to work 60 hours, 70 hours and all these things so I can make more money. And as I went a little deeper, I looked for, you know, I said, this there's got to be a better way. So I found a book and I read the book, you know, on how to improve in market your consulting skills, improve your consulting skills, do this, do this, this. I learned, read a lot of things. So in that book, I read this story. There was a consultant and I've told this story a few times and I've been using it myself. As a consultant, I went to a certain place to solve a problem. It was a complicated problem. It was a complicated diagram and everything. And they had it up on the screen. And he came in there, looked at the thing. And after a few seconds, he walked up, put the X somewhere, and gives them a bill for $10,000. And he said, well, you know, and he was right. You know, that was the place where the issue was. And he said, well, but you've only been here a minute. I said, no. Knowing I didn't charge you for my time, I charged you for my knowledge of knowing and understanding where to put the X. You know, it had to take me 3 seconds. It took the plumber 3 seconds. It took this man a few seconds to look at the diagram and put the X. But he's not going to charge you for 3 seconds. I'm going to charge you for the knowledge. You know, this is how highly paid consultants flourish. You know, people, coaches and different things offer master classes and so on. This is how they flourish. They're going to show you in a few minutes, how something that would take you years. And I'm going to charge you for that knowledge. You know, so learning how to put the X. So I started to learn that, you know, I try to develop myself to become a subject matter expert. And after that, I started charging higher fees. I tell them, well, you know, you can hire somebody else. Actually, I use this technique in some interviews. I said, well, yeah, because, and I said, we can only pay this. I said, well, my rate is double. He said, why should we pay you double? I said, well, you can bring in the other guys. You can take them 3 months to do it. But I can, you know, I come in here. You'll actually save money with me because I can do it for you in a week. You know, I said, wow, a week? I said, yeah, calculate it. It'll be. One time I even went to a place. I wanted to charge a fee that was, you know, out of range, completely out of their range. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if I don't deliver the X in 1 week, pay me nothing. I mean, this was something they thought would take months. I said, you only pay for my, you know, airfare or whatever. And then we call it even. I said, but if I deliver the X in a week, you pay me this amount. And they agreed to it. They said, well, okay, we're only going to pay his airfare. You can't do it. And I did it. After I did it, I collected and I was laughing all the way to the bank. Yeah. What? Why? Because I knew where to put the X. How did I know how to put the X? I studied. And I learned, you know, and I studied some more. And I practiced and I studied some more and I proved myself, you know. Until I became a subject matter expert. And you know the reason why people, when you go up on a panel to speak, you know, those who have confidence in their, not they are doing, they are confident, you know. If you can't speak and you're afraid, it's because you don't know what you're speaking about. If you know what you're speaking about, just go there. You don't have to think. You just share the knowledge you already know. You know, and everybody sees you as an expert, you know, and they pay you more. You know, so let me leave it there. There is more to be said on this subject of understanding keys. Oh, there's one last thing I'd like to say to you before I close today. On the subject of keys, you know, powerful stuff on this subject. If you figure it out, and I want you to stay with me, come back tomorrow and hear some more, and then come back again and hear some more. And so forth. I'm going to tell you some about the principles. You know, if you understand the principles, there's some principle I think I will tell you maybe tomorrow, but I'm going to just drop you a hint here. There's a principle of how things function in the earth. And God himself subscribes to it, but many people don't know it. You know, so I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. But let me give you a hint. When God was going to create things, right? There was a principle he used. And after he created things, there's a different principle he used. And you got to come back and hear it tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you today, but you got to come back and hear it. Before there was anything, there was a principle that God used. After there were things, principles that God used. And so now you cannot try to now use those principles that he used before he created things. Now that he has created things and he has a different set of principles for how those things now work. Come back and hear the rest of it tomorrow. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's part one of our understanding the kingdom concept of keys. You know, hopefully, you know, you understand that now keys don't just work just because they are keys. You know, there's got to be something. It's going to be either you know how to use the key or you even know what to use the key for, you know, and so on and so forth. So if you don't know how to use the key or you don't know how to use or what to use the key for, then it's not going to work for you anyway. So that's our lesson today. And I'm going to pray over the room, and I want to leave it up for some shares and stuff like that. And I have much more. I promise you to say on this subject. But I want you to, by the grace of God, let's come back and hear the continuation of it. I wanted to say the rest of it, but I don't know. I'll finish it in one day or not. But so come back and hear the rest of it. I just changed the lesson to part one because there's more. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson on understanding concept behind keys and the kingdom concept. And I pray, Lord, as we go deeper in these lessons, that you will help us and open our understanding. Let us not be men and women of no understanding. Let us be people of understanding. Jesus said to his disciples, ask them, do you now understand these things? And the disciples say, yes, Lord. And if they didn't understand, they would come to him and ask him, and he would explain. Teach us, Lord, and help us to come. We give you, Lord, glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.